Talking tariffs today. I don't know how y'all consume economic news, but personally, I'll be watching like Bloomberg and all kinds of things. I'm no dummy. You know, you can be a communist and not be a dummy. You have to know what's going on in the world to be able to move and operate. And so I'm watching just now. And all day yesterday, I was like, hey, look, I did the math. Maybe it's not 100% right, but the effective tariff rate is going to be about like 30%. It's going to be around like 30%. And people are like, where are you getting these numbers? You making up these and you don't even know how to do math. And I'm like, no, like just look up our top importers. Look up our top imports. Look up the numbers. And then, you know, you just average it all together. And, you know, you get a little higher, but you just, you know, bring the number down a little bit. And that's about the number. And everybody, where are you getting these numbers? And I'm like, dude, this is public information. Well, regardless, I'm watching Bloomberg just now. And a very smart woman from J.P. Morgan Asset Management gets on there, and they're like, "Hey, where do you think the rates, the effective rate's going to be?" And she's like, "Well, we at J.P. Morgan Asset Management think that the effective tariff rate is going to be about 25%." And I'm like, "Oh wow, that's so crazy that just me, you know, normal guy, normal little chemist guy, was able to piece together that we were going to be about 30." And here are these smart people probably using some nice algorithms and some nice things, figuring out that it's going to be about 25. So even though I was a little higher, we're still in the ballpark. We're still in the ballpark. Regardless, everything is going to be a quarter higher. It's going to be 25% higher, which is crazy. It's fundamentally crazy when you think about it. $100,000 Yukon Denali XL, now $130,000. You know? $1,000 washing machine, now $1,200. A $500 refrigerator, now $600. You know, I don't know. Oh, $625. Oof. I don't know. You know, I don't know who really thinks this is going to be good. These tariffs are not going to be good at all. The price of everything is already going up. I mean, just over this weekend, everything is going up, and the stock of everything is plummeting right now, and we're in a literal free fall. Technically, on a technical trading fundamental level, there's no bottom because we're technically like in a new economic model. And so there's no bottom to how low this can go. And I know that we love to be like, the stock market isn't the economy, but in some ways it somewhat is. And if the stock is substantially lower, then like they're going to like fire people because they need to like boost the stock up. Many companies have already been announcing layoffs to compound with the layoffs of the federal government. You know, just to name a few, we have Intel, Chevron, Dow Chemical, all kinds of companies that are you know, announcing layoffs in some capacity already. And that's before this tariff thing. You have to see. Right now, DuPont, and you know, I'm not saying that these corporations are great or whatever, but DuPont down 15% today. That's going to cost some jobs, you know. The profits, they get to keep, but the losses, we all share, you know. Love yourself. What's up, love yourself? You can come on up.
Good morning, Luigi.
Good morning, friend. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm trying to make it in this economy, buddy.
Oh, man. The market's terrible. The economy's terrible.
Yeah, we're going in a tough place. I don't know what
state, what state you live in, but my deep red state is not going to survive this.
I'm in Jersey. Dirty Jers.
Maybe you'll be somewhat okay, but
it's Jersey's so bad here. It's totally cooked here. The housing is so expensive. The wages have not kept up with the housing. New Jersey's totally cooked.
Well, to be fair, with what's going on, I don't know what your housing situation is, but a lot of people are going to be losing jobs, and that's a lot of mortgages that are going to go unpaid. So we're going to see significant downward pressure on the housing prices in the next 3 years, I would say.
I'm so far away from buying a house, though. I just mean like rents. Like to rent a place, it's like minimum $2,000 a month here.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it because realistically, I mean, if you want to rent, I mean, if you want to rent like a 3-bedroom house or a 2-bedroom house here where I live, it's almost $2,000. So, I mean, I can imagine, you know, even just to get a studio apartment or something in Jersey.
Yeah, I just look at like 1-bedroom apartments mainly.
Yeah, 1-bedroom studio. I feel like that's probably like $1,200 or I live $1,000. Can't keep up though, man. It's crazy. And, you know, so many jobs are going to be lost because like people would be like, okay, well, it's costing me 10% more to import. I'm not going to import 10% more stuff to make up for it. I'm going to import less and just raise the price. So, I mean, that's jobs. That's immediate jobs being lost.
But like if you work retail or like a restaurant worker, you know, that won't be affected. Unless don't have enough money to pay to go to the restaurant.
That's exactly it. So right now, we're at the very beginning of the compounding effect. So it actually started with the federal workers. Because our economy was very strong and a lot of people were employed. I'm not saying everything was perfect, so please don't misunderstand. But our economy was strong, and if we just changed a few things, we could have been, you know, in a great place, but not these things. And so with the federal workers, for every federal worker that was being fired, you have to think of the compounding effects just from that. That's mortgages. That's state taxes not being paid. That is restaurants not getting eaten at. That is whatever that person is doing economically for whatever period of time between them getting a job, I mean, losing their job, getting a new job. And then if you look at the significant, significant downward pressure we're seeing in the market now, who is going to hire these federal workers? So now these people are unemployed. You know, indefinitely. So that's number one. So then we have all the periphery effects of that. Okay. So even if the restaurant workers and all of this was going to survive that, now we put the downward pressure of the imports and the increased price. So now we have less discretionary income. We're going to have more job losses because, you know, when these companies need to return value to the shareholders, they're going to try to cut jobs and do things on skeleton crews even more. And so that's immediately what we're going to see. And so just that in and of itself is two very significant factors. And then the job loss compound from the import disaster on top of raised prices, we're slowly seeing the sucking up of all of what little money was left in the economy for the working people. Because the billionaires and the rich people, they have money. And yeah, they're going to take a little haircut, but like they're still going to have a lot of money. But, you know, for someone who is fortunate enough to work their ass off and make $100,000, your $100,000 is now only worth about $70,000 overnight because Donald Trump did that.
The Propaganda Factory by MTCSTW. Is that your book?
That is my podcast. We will be cutting a new episode here in a little while. I'm just kind of getting warmed up right now. I have a guest in about an hour. Yeah, so we'll have another episode, our second episode of The Propaganda Factory. The Propaganda Factory is also one of my pages on Facebook. I have two pages on Facebook, Memes That Can Save the World, which is what MTCSTW stands for. And I have The Propaganda Factory. And in both of those places, I've cultivated a great community of, you know, some sick left radicals that are ready to make the world a better place for the workers, you know, that are coming together in a massive movement and a massive coalition for a force of good and bad. But, you know.
Yeah, I think we all got to stick together.
Yeah. That's exactly it. I mean, and that's fundamentally what the problem is right now, is that we are not sticking together in every way. You know, the tariff thing, If tariffs are done in a very selective manner on select products or select countries, then it is an effective tool. But like a blanket tariff, that just doesn't make any sense economically, especially like if you're a rich person. If I'm Donald Trump and I'm sitting there, it makes sense because it's like I'm rich and my life isn't going to be any worse. But like if I'm a poor person who shows up to work and maybe I work hard enough to make six figures, if I'm making $100,000, now it's only worth $70,000, which fundamentally I don't think people are realizing that in and of itself is that every dollar you earn now is now worth 70 cents. Just like that. Donald Trump just did that to us, just like that. Boom. I was saying earlier that, when he first dropped the numbers, I did some very rough math and I was like, okay, the tariffs are going to come out to about, it's going to be about 30% cumulative. And all the Trumpers I'm on lives with and whatnot are like, where are you getting those numbers? You don't know how to do math. You don't know nothing about no imports. And I'm just watching Bloomberg because, I literally consume economic news all day. I'm no fool. Just because I'm a communist doesn't mean I'm a fool. So I'm watching Bloomberg and a very smart woman gets on there from JP Morgan Asset Management. And she's like, we at JP Morgan Asset Management see the effective tariff rate now at 25% when you add it all together and do the math. And I'm sitting there like, wow, here I am. I'm a simple chemist. I have a little bit of math, but I didn't do anything crazy. I just took some very rough numbers, plugged them in, and I was like, okay, it's about 30. And here are these very smart people. And she, whatever met tools JP Morgan Asset Management is using, they get to 25%. And so I'm just sitting there like, wow, like it's really not hard to understand that every dollar we make now is worth 70 cents. It's crazy. Look, Don Rodego, Don Rodeo, Don Rodeo, you are an economist. I would love to have you up real quick if you would like to chat just for a second, Don Rodeo. If you are a former economist, I would love a little bit of your input.
Hey, man.
Hey, dog. So, give me a quick introduction for yourself just to establish
Hey,
yourself
man.
real fast.
Well, for TikTok purposes, I'm 46 years old. I'm semi-retired. I spent about 25 years working in international finance, a number of years as a Wall Street stock analyst covering industrial companies, so international supply chain, then spent a good
Yes,
decade
sir.
doing mergers and acquisitions
Okay.
on a global
I'm
scale.
interested. See, look, here you can't read the full word. It says liquidate the billionaires. I want to be in the mergers and acquisition business too.
No, it is a lucrative career, no joke, and that's part of the reason why I'm kind of retired in my mid-40s.
Right.
Certainly you get outsized paychecks, you work a lot too, but I just wanted to chime in is that you're not wrong. I mean, the way these tariffs work, and it's crazy how I find that when I participate on these debates, often you run into these people that are saying, hey, we're just making it fair. I find it
Yeah.
crazy that they really don't have any grasp of how tariffs
The
work,
world
right? Like
works.
you were
Not only
saying that.
tariffs, but the world, because like every economic trade the United States enters into, we are already winning, number one. Number two, our number one export is US dollars. So it actually doesn't matter if we trade deficits because we want US dollars in their country.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, if we are not, if we are not putting dollars in their country, so to speak, and people don't want to, invest in us by creating trade negotiations with us, we don't have any bullets to shoot when those countries start misbehaving, right? Like one of our biggest assets
Exactly
that we
right.
have is our economic power to be used in a military sense. And in essence, cutting people out of
Exactly
our
right.
banking system, cutting people out of
The
our trade. And if we've
imperial
already done that,
economy.
if we've already cut people out, through these tariffs, then there are no repercussions. But
Exactly. That's exactly
what
right.
I just wanted to say, you're exactly right about like the pinpointed tariffs are functional and those are actually helpful, but the blanket, the blanket way that he's going about doing this, it quite frankly makes no sense. And I think the goal is to have zero deficit with some of these guys, but
Right.
That's unrealistic given
Correct.
foreign currency effects. I mean, we have all got different currencies that trade at different rates. So to eliminate that is just downright ridiculous. But also, I mean, our populations are different. Like, of course we're gonna have a deficit.
Correct.
Anyway, the whole thing's ridiculous, man.
I agree. I agree. And so, like you said, and I think the blanket tariff thing, in some way, it might be counterintuitive because you are trained to analyze things economically and you've come up in a time of free trade. So they probably trained you that free trade is the best, it's the ideal goal. I am a chemist. And so I was brought up, I was trained analytically and to assess things and look for natural diffusion. That's essentially what we're looking for here is natural diffusion, things moving from one place that it's high concentration to low concentration, very simple.
Sure.
And so that's fundamentally what I am seeing. And I think that, for the lay folk, which it's not their fault. The billionaires come for us every day. They make it to where we do not have time to learn these things. So it is not their fault. For them, it sounds like a good deal. But whenever you think tariffs and the external revenue service is good, they say, we're not going to be paying taxes anymore. We're going to get everything for free. And to me, that sounds like communism. It sounds like they want communism. They just don't want the word communism.
I mean, I agree with that on so many different levels. I'd also agree. I mean, I agree with that on so many different levels. I'd also agree with in so many ways. So obviously, all the services we use in day-to-day basis are basically communism. I mean, roads, fire departments, the military. I mean,
Correct.
we're all paying
Correct.
into a system to get some sort of collective benefit out of it.
Correct.
Maybe that's more socialism, but the two the right seems to conflate both of those issues, regardless.
Correct. If I could ask, because you're a former, former economist, as you said, a former professional money man, that's how we'll call it, money man. What would you say your political ideology is, in terms of center? Where do you think? Are you far? Are you right? Are you left?
It's funny. I used to be right, but when I say used to be, that was quite a long time ago. I'm actually unabashedly left these days. What it really comes down to is, as I started, my career started doing really well. I became one of those people that said, like, I did not mind paying more in taxes if it meant that, people were going to have education, if they're going to have health care, et cetera.
Correct.
Unfortunately, much of my career, I should say a lot of my career colleagues are probably more right-leaning
Correct.
now. I
Correct.
will say that there are more leftists in the industry than you would think, though.
I would think so too.
It's surprising, but mainly I think it's this new strain of right wing that has pushed away, a lot of us. I think they realize that, it is possible for capitalism to run rampant. It's very easy to not see that when you watch CNBC. Because I'll say that the CNBC folks are generally, very kind of right wing.
And it's good
They're true
propaganda.
free market. Yeah, it really kind of is.
It's all capitalist propaganda.
But yeah, no, there's believe it or not, there's more leftists in the industry than you would think, but it is still very, very much dominated by the right wing.
Are you a bachelor economist or?
Which is a
Yes,
CFA is kind
certified
of an end
financial.
around to getting an MBA is basically what it is. It's the curriculum is basically the same. But I studied economics and then got into international finance and basically right out of college.
So, okay, I have to ask because I've spoken to a few other people previously. Because I got big ideas. I got big ideas how we can liquidate the billionaires, how we can change the world, how we can feed the people. And some of the problems that we have are, for example, the speculation in housing. And so one of my proposals is that we freeze the pricing, we freeze all appraised and county tax assessed value of housing, and then we immediately make everyone liquid on one property, on one residential property. So if you worked your whole life and you put everything into your house, you will be immediately made liquid. But then every other house that people owns in residential, not commercial apartments, okay, residential property, every house that you have that you own would then be taxed, like property tax or whatever. We'd implement a tax at like 90%. So then you would be forced to sell, and it would create such a downward pressure on residential housing that it would free up supply. And then all the people that, you know, put their life into their house would be made whole. They would, like I said, be made liquid. Yep. Does that sound like an insane proposal?
It sounds insane because it's big. I mean, at the end of the day, yes. I've always treated assets, like whether it's a home or cash, you know, the whole point is that you want that fluidity, right? Like, so
yes,
in my mind,
it's
not crazy because, you know, you can transfer from a hard asset, say a house, to cash. So like, to me, that doesn't sound crazy because it's just transferring from one asset to another. I think the only reason you're going to get the pushback is because it's such a grand scale that you're thinking on.
yes. I would agree.
But at the end of the day, like, I've always been one of those people like, okay, fine. I've got cash. Cool. I got a house. Cool. Like whichever one it's in, whichever it's in, as long as you're, you know, as you were saying, kind of made whole, yes, you know, I've exactly. been really kind of agnostic about that, but that's just my take. I don't know. I'm also one of those people that I live very Spartan. Like my house is very simple. It's a 1500 square foot, you know, two bedroom house. There's nothing crazy about it. You know, so I've always kind of been easy come, easy go in my life. I think that where you're going to get pushback is the people that are like, you know, I built this up. I'm not going to let it go. I mean, that's, you know,
right.
That's where that would come from.
Well, that's fine, because we're not saying you can't go do business or whatever. We're just saying that buying up residential property isn't it's not a business anymore. We're going to make that a non-viable business.
Yeah, and I agree with the speculation in the housing is absolutely. I'll tell you, I feel like whatever, if there's some president that can, your presidential candidate that can run on fixing the housing crisis, fixing the rampant cost of education and healthcare. You know, these are systemic problems that we've had for the last 50 years, and nobody's ever really been able to address them. I'll tell you, if you had a candidate that ran on that, and I don't know what the solution is. I wish I did, because then I'd be president too, right? But
right.
You know, at the end of the day, I do feel like you're hitting on something that is, you know, those are the things that are pissing people off. I mean, I feel like Trump won because of grocery prices, but you know, down underneath it, I think that was the grocery prices were the straw that broke the camel's back. I think the thing that was, you know, everybody was seething about was the fact that they can't pay for education, they can't pay for healthcare, they can't pay for housing.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, groceries got added to the list, and they're like, fuck, like, sorry, I can't, don't mean to swear, but
it's fine.
I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back in like voters' minds. But really, the thing they're pissed off about is the healthcare, housing, and education.
I agree.
I think that's really
that's why. Over the years, I've been doing this a while. I've been a propagandist for a while, taking all this data and analyzing, and this is what I see. And so that's why I've come up with some of these solutions, because fundamentally, I see that the problem is it's a liquidity problem. Everyone is having liquidity issues. We have to work, and we're living paycheck to paycheck because we're not liquid enough. The way that we purchase things and do things, and our system is very illiquid, because you have all of these billionaires and all of these mega corporations holding on to the liquidity, holding on to the wealth. And that fundamentally is the issue. We're not saying that the wealth is not going to exist. We're saying that everyone is going to have substantially more wealth. And for people that show up to work and work hard every day and do all the things, they're going to probably be millionaires by default, you know, like that's the thing about it is like, there's going to be so much more opportunity to have a small business, to have multiple small businesses and whatnot, to be doing all kinds of things, to be industrious in the community and to make money and to take vacations and to spend time with your family and to create and do whatever you want. That's what we're trying to get at here. There is no point. All right. There's no point for someone to work 12 hours a day and still be struggling, all right?
if they're working 12 hours a day, they need to be millionaires by default. If they're working 8 hours a day, they probably still need to be millionaires. Because who is giving up a quarter, you know, half? Because 12 hours in a day, you're giving up half of your life for the day and you're still struggling. That doesn't even make sense. And fundamentally, it's because there is no equity in the exchange.
Man,
that is just transactional. It's how can I get the most from you while giving you the least amount possible?
Preaching to the choir, Omri. Preaching to the choir. Right, hey, I do need to run. I've got to do some stuff on the computer here for work. But I appreciate you and I followed you.
I appreciate it. We'll talk more in the future.
All right. See you, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, man. I just great time. You know, just meeting these people. That's one of the best parts about it. You know, because fundamentally we're all in it for the same thing, you know, and that's why I'm not saying I'm right on everything. I'm not saying that I have all the right answers or anything like that, but I'm saying that I'm going to try, you know, like I'm going to try to come up with something. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to come up with something because fundamentally, I don't know, like people who solve problems like to solve problems. And I see these very large and complicated problems and I want to try to solve them. I want to try to work on them because I'm a problem solver, you know? Do I always get to the right answer? No, but you know, it's in the work. It's in the work of trying to address these problems. That's why we think these billionaires are so, you know, industrious and whatnot and so successful. Fundamentally, they were problem solvers, but the way that our system is, oftentimes it's creating the problems, but not only that, it doesn't allow for all of us to share truly in the solution to the problem. And that when we were working for these billionaires, you know, and these innovators, they are not sharing enough equity with the community and the liquidity issue of the money not flowing. When a mega yacht can exist, when a mega yacht can sail around on the open seas, that means that people cannot eat food. They cannot afford food. That means that people cannot afford houses. That means that people are struggling. And fundamentally, that's what we're saying here, is that when all of these large things are allowed to exist, that's what creates the poverty. And we do not want poverty. By default, if you fail as a human, which inevitably, in some capacity, we all fail. None of us are perfect. All right? If you fail as a human, you fundamentally deserve food, house, healthcare, and access to education and training to get back into the workforce and become industrious. So it is time to liquidate the billionaires and liberate the food. Feed the people. I'm going to end it here. I have to do a little bit more studying before I get on this live. I'm going to be back in about 30 minutes, hopefully, and we'll have a guest. And we're going to have a nice conversation about some good things. So thank you all for your time today. I appreciate you. This is Memes That Can Save the World from the Propaganda Factory, working every day for you, the working people, spreading working class propaganda for you, the working class people, because it's time to fight back against these billionaires. It is time to match their energy and liberate ourselves once and for all. So thank you. You have a great day. I'll talk to you all soon.